Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Atlanta! We're up 3-2. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man. I'll tell you this, Mike Bell. I have gone through all the range of emotions that you could possibly go through over the last two games. But if we're able to win this series, guys, you just witnessed the greatest comeback in Atlanta sports history. Now, the key is we've got to finish this thing. And Friday night, we'll get a chance to do that with Game 6 being at home right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We've got a lot to chop up, a lot to talk about. But before we get into any of that, Mike, I want to send this out to Philly. I just want them to know, we ain't never scared. We ain't never scared. Down 26 last night. We're never scared. Everybody's counting us out in this series, Mike Bell. And how do we come back last night and do what we did?
Unbelievable. And again, yeah, I'm guilty as charged. This had nothing to do with Atlantitis. It's just when you're not scoring, you look terrible in the half court. And the Sixers are seemingly scoring on every possession. It's about as, you know, as dark as it can be before the dawn, right?
It starts
with a three, and then it's a two. And then all of a sudden, you know, you realize, okay, we're getting close and closer. And you get it down to, like, you know, 14. You're saying, you know, we've done this before. And the thing also, and I don't know if it was brought up last night. I don't think it was because they were busy just saying how, you know, yeah, Sixers blew it. This is fantastic because we showed clutch. We showed no quit. But, Carl, just real quick, do you agree that when you start to pull your starters, there's a mindset like, whew, work is done? You know what I mean? If you're Joel Embiid, again, that's a Philly problem. But when you got to find that gear and get back out there and you can't do it, and Ben Simmons, who is the biggest mental midget, and you and I were talking about this like months ago when we were looking at potential matchups. I mean, these guys are so messed up in their head psychologically. Philadelphia, it's all doom and gloom if you've been reading the websites. Carl, again, we still got to handle our business because Embiid is capable of dominating the game. But I just think Philadelphia is so completely screwed right now. The team, and Doc Rivers can say all he wants, it's hard to envision these guys being able to rally and come back on us.
I think there's a couple of things working against them, and I do agree with you. You know what it reminds me of, Mike? That you've won five or six in a row in the NFL, your team's 11 or 12 wins or whatever it might be, and you decide to rest your starters, and you say, well, we'll be fine. And then you come out in the playoffs, and you're flat. That's kind of what this reminds me of when you take starters out of a game like that with Doc Rivers. And by the way, he's catching hell up there. I mean, they're going crazy, and rightfully so. But here's the deal, and this is what I think has happened with Philadelphia, and we're going to talk a lot about our team because it is about us. It is about our star and Trae Young and what this team was able to accomplish last night. By the way, Nate McMillan, 3 o'clock today. Coach Nate's going to stop by Dukes and Bell. There's been no accountability during the process, okay? When they drafted Embiid and they drafted Ben Simmons, the former regime, the former coaches there, the general manager, they kind of let these guys do whatever they wanted to do and handled them, you know, in a way that they hadn't won anything. They haven't done anything, by the way. Embiid's a great player. Simmons, not so much. But they haven't done anything. And I think, Mike, because of the lack of accountability and these guys being able to do whatever they want to do, you're seeing that play into the mental aspect. And you're right. They are screwed mentally. I mean, you come back twice in consecutive games, right? You overcome these deficits. That's just killer. I don't care who you are. I don't care how tough you are, how much you've trained. That in these kinds of series are just mentally draining. So now all of a sudden they've got to get themselves back up, and now they know they have to beat us twice, and we've already stolen two games on their home court. Do I feel like we're going to win this series? Absolutely. Do I feel like everything is going our way and momentum-wise? Absolutely. But Mike's right. Embiid was dominant last night until it mattered most. Dukesism.
Right, right.
Fourth quarter, Mike.
And then Ben Simmons as well. And I mean, the fact that he becomes that liability. And like, if you can't shoot free throws, and this is why, you know, before you and I, we talked about this with Barkley, and it just, and I never wanted to sound like an old fart because, you know, sports evolve, games evolve, but hitting a jump shot is still part of being a star. And to be one of the top picks, to be a $150 million man, and you can't do something that's so fundamental to the sport. It just runs counterintuitive to me and this guy being a star and earning this kind of coin. And then, you know, it's when everybody's up, he's King Kong. You know, when you're down, when the chips are down, you see these guys fold. And by the way, hats off to John Collins. I mean, when John Collins banks that shot off the glass, and I believe he did call glass, Carl.
I hope he did.
It was just, it was unreal. Guys, Bogey couldn't catch a cold last night. We looked so discombobulated. We were missing bunnies again. That first half, when I said, look, let's just get on the bus and regroup. I mean, look, if you felt 26 down and the way things are going, we could battle back. God bless you. And I say salute. But I mean, I was looking at this. I texted you. I'm losing my mind watching this like so many people. And then, Carl, we just start chipping away and chipping away. And as we said, then they put the starters back. And then you see Trae Young. And again, Kendrick Perkins, the only guy I see on ESPN saying, stop with the Sixers choking and talk about what Trae Young did. Yeah, we choked the Super Bowl away. Tom Brady and the Patriots didn't go four and out. They kept churning and kicked our butts in that second half, the same way we just kicked the Sixers' butt in the last 5 minutes of the third and in the fourth quarter.
Trae with 39 points last night. And it's funny because I put out last night as I was tweeting after the game about him being a star, and I've been saying this on the show. It's okay to say it. Like, I've been to the barbershops. I've been talking to people around town for 3 years. And people have been afraid. Every time I bring up Trae Young, it's, well, you know, bro, he's kind of small. Well, you know, he's not Steph Curry. It's always what he isn't versus what he is. So when I say it's okay to tout your star, put your hands in the air and cheer for this dude and be proud of it, it's okay. Guys, he scored 30 points in 5 of these 10 playoff games, and it's his first run at it. That whole thing about being built for it and all that, that's not hyperbole. This dude is showing up and showing out. So last night, again, in the fourth quarter, when it matters most, he shows up. Lou Williams shows up. And right. Embiid had 6 points in the fourth. Did he kill us quarters 1 through 3? Yep. But in the fourth quarter, we always say this. This is when the stars elevate their game. And Trae did that last night.
Right.
Now, I mean, real quick, Mike, I want to take you to Philly because I want you to hear this. We're having fun down here, and we're going to open up the phone lines to hear you guys a little bit later on because we want to engage with our fans. We know this is a big deal for our city and where this team is. But in Philly, this is what's going on. Listen to this.
Ben Simmons cannot be your point guard, and neither could George Hill. And I told you, if you don't get a point guard in a half-court set to put people in the right places, this team will not win. And you saw it last night, and you saw it in Game 4. We don't have a point guard in a half-court game to put players who are supposed to be scorers in the right position to win a game.
That's so hot!
Bro, you know, and anybody who grew up in the Northeast, and I used to go to watch, you know, watch the Phillies play the Mets up there or watch the Giants play the Eagles. You know, I was dumb enough to go up there in 18 for the Falcons and Eagles playoff game. They're just, I mean, awful people. There's no city more deserving of what's happening right now than those folks up in Philadelphia. I mean, they wear being the most obnoxious people on their sleeve like a badge of courage. And Carl, I was watching some of the comments, the viral video of the Philly, I guess their sports network post game. I mean, it was just, oh my God. What's that? What is the word? Schadenfreude, Chris? What is that? Schadenfreude? It's a German word meaning it's taking pleasure in the misery of others, and that's exact. And by God, nobody deserves it more than Philadelphia. You know what I said to myself last night? Somewhere John Kincaid is crying like a bee, Carl, rolled up in a ball. That pompous ass.
Ben Hawks. Simmons cannot be your point yes. guard, and yeah. neither could George Hill.
Yeah, we know this. Well, why didn't Philly know this? Hey, we outscore them in the fourth quarter, guys, 40-19, ball game. And I want to put this out there. We're going to give you a chance to win $1,000 playing our national signing bonus. Lots of discussion today about these Hawks, and rightfully so. Coach Nate's on the way at 3 o'clock. Trae Young, we talk about the stars. Think about how this game ended. When Trae is able to draw the foul, right, on the three-pointer, and then goes to the line, hits three free throws. Next trip down, Embiid gets fouled. He goes to the line, chokes, two free throws. We get the ball back. They have no choice but to foul. Trae goes back to the line and hits both. Five free throws in the last minute and 20 seconds by your star. That's how you close games out. Their star went to the line and choked. So it is what it is right now, Philly. And if they get back into this thing on Friday, fine. We'll roll the dice in a game seven. But, Mike, I feel really good.
Brother, the only thing which is a bad taste in my mouth is the absolute classless piece of garbage that Joel Embiid was trying to take out John Collins' legs.
Mm.
And how – I mean, look, I know it's a big moment, and we've already seen how selectively the NBA enforces this, but I hope the Hawks sent something to the league, because that's something that you cannot allow that to happen. First off, other players would think that's some grab bag stuff, and I've got the video up at Mike Bell ATL. I think you've got it up on yours as well, Carl, at Put Him Up C Dukes. But, I mean, that's just – I mean, the worst. So let's let this clown have it, guys. I want to hear flopper. I want to hear this team just supported like we've never seen an Atlanta team, Carl. I can't wait for the electric atmosphere Friday night at State Farm. We're going to blow the roof off the joint.
We are up 3-2, guys. More coming up on Dukes and Bell, and we have to change our thinking. We'll tell you what we're talking about. Right now, let's give you a chance to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Verse, V-E-R-S-E, verse is the word. Text it to 72881, that's 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 playing our national signing bonus contest. We'll give you a chance each and every hour, guys, this hour, all the way up until 2:59, text the word verse to 72881. We're happy. We are joyful in our city right now, and we should be. And, you know, somebody said to me last night, Dukes, I have never wanted or been more excited about a team in Atlanta in a very long time. And that's the way we all should feel. And so, again, a lot of people don't think we should be here, guys. This is our first run at it. We got all these guys who are 22, 23 years old, and mm-hmm. they're not supposed to be here now. They're the number one seed in the East. But yet we're up in this series and have a chance to go to the Eastern Conference Finals in Trae's first run in the playoffs. Think about that for a second. We're coming back. We got plenty more to get to. Miles Robinson's on the way before the hour is up. We'll talk Atlanta United. They have a match on Sunday. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And after last night, you should have a big smile on your face. We got beautiful weather in the ATL. You could be crying like Joel Embiid right now, but instead, we are celebrating a big W last night, which was just unbelievable. I want to say this before we get into some headlines, Mike, real quick. And this may be one of those philosophical things that might be way too deep for some people, but I know we're conditioned in our city to not believe and believe that something's going to go wrong all the time. It's just how we've been conditioned. And, you know, for me, I'm big on being in the moment. I tell you, I don't worry about 2025. I don't even know if I'll be here. Don't know what you're doing in 2025. I'm in the moment. And celebrating your wins along the way in life are important. When you have things that happen in your life and you wait until, well, I'm going to wait, then your life is never fun. And, you know, for me, it's sort of like when you're dating before you ended up, whoever you ended up marrying, it would be like telling her, I can't be happy until we get married. I'm not going to celebrate us going out on dates and us hanging out and us hugging or kissing and showing affection or loving each other. I got to wait until we get married before I can feel completely happy. It's not about getting to the destination, it's the journey. And so for Hawks fans, for everybody that's petrified, it's over. Nobody ever said it was over. But enjoy the win. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy what you're seeing with Trae and JC and Lou. It's okay. You can do that and still, ultimately, no matter what happens, you know what? This is the moment, and we're in the moment right now. So I just, Mike, I got to say this because I know it's overwhelming in our city that we're so petrified that something's going to go wrong. It's not over. Nobody said it was over. This is a series. It's a seven-game series. But I'll be damned if I'm going to sit back and with my hands crossed and my legs crossed and not do anything and celebrate one of the most incredible, unbelievable comebacks I've ever seen.
Well, again, I don't know who these guys are. I mean, if you're not on board with this, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's such a likable team. There's no bad guys on this squad. It's just a collection of really good dudes. It's a great redemption story for Nate McMillan, who's going to join us at 3 o'clock, a guy that was unfairly dumped by the Pacers. And he's taken his lumps in the postseason. But now, man, to see the way this team has rallied back and to have Lou out there at the same time, some of the adjustments that they made. I mean, remember, Bogey was in foul trouble all night. He had to deal with that. He had all these issues that he had to overcome. But, you know, this team, as I said, look, now, when you're not scoring, and let's be real, Carl, there was a time in that end second into the third quarter where we couldn't do anything, right? And trips down to the half court were literally like a Keystone Cops. But, and I, again, I say salute to guys. Let's hit the bus and let's just regroup and we'll get them back on game six. But they kept at it, and they chipped away and chipped away. And then because the starters were pulled, to get re-engaged, they couldn't do it. The only guy that was worth a damn was that Steph Curry's brother, Seth Curry. That guy, for a minute there, couldn't miss. But everybody else up there, you know, struggles. The only two guys scored, as we said, in the second half. I mean, it was just insane. So now we build on this, and now we take the confidence. So even if Philly comes out on Friday night and makes a run, we know we can take a punch. Hell, we can take a knockout punch and get off the canvas. So it's so un-Atlanta because, look, Carl, I've been here since 98. I agree. Georgia, the Braves, the Falcons, none of this has anything to do with what each other team does. Why didn't Georgia win a championship? Because the coach makes dumb decisions or the players don't execute. Yeah, right. Why didn't the Falcons? We all have to rehash 51. But this is a completely different animal. So as we say throughout the process, especially starting with the Knicks, just reset. Reset what you think about Atlanta sports. Reset what you think about these athletes. And Trae Young is the biggest young star in the freaking league.
I've been preaching this since I got here. Things change. And again, your teams have to win and show you, like last night, for you to go, wow, okay, maybe this dude's right. Things change. They just do. And so this is what's happening in our city. But I think it's important for us to address this because, again, we got a lot of people, and you may be one of them listening to us right now. You may be one of them. It's okay. Celebrate these things, man, as we go along. Hopefully, at some point, this turns into chips for us, whether it's the Hawks, Braves, whether it's the Falcons, whoever, okay? Georgia, but celebrate it as we move along. If you never do that, your life is going to be miserable, and you're always going to wait until you get to the destination, and sometimes you don't always get there, so you're just still waiting. 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Miles Robinson's on the way, and also Coach Nate's going to join us at 3 o'clock. We will open the phone lines a little bit later on, so I want to talk to you guys. We definitely want to hear from our fans because I know most of you, like Mike and I, didn't sleep last night. And if you did, you went to bed really late because this just energized you and amped you up in a way that, you know what, it was, again, you're telling your friends are telling their friends, I can't believe this. And it was one of those moments. And that's why we love sports. It's Dukes and Bell. Chris Glow Sticks behind the glass today. Bo Morgan, executive producing. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Well, let's start with Trae Young. And the numbers speak for themselves. 13 in the fourth quarter. He missed two free throws. Ben Simmons missed 10 last night. Trae, two for six from beyond the arc. Had seven assists. I'd say it's a pretty good game. Trae?
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing this a lot recently, especially after the break. We really been doing a lot better at closing out games and finishing games, no matter what the score is. So,
I mean, to score 40 in the first half and just look, as we said, Carl, dead in the water. And, again, if we had gone into it, remember last night you and I were saying, put some heat on these guys and Philadelphia might actually wilt. Well, we didn't know that we'd have to come back from one of the fourth greatest playoff comeback to get Philadelphia to wilt, but they did. What if I told you this time yesterday, Capella, Bogey, and Herter would combine for 12 points?
I would have told you we'd lose.
Right.
I would have told you we'd lose.
Right.
And no doubt.
Lou really did get things cooking. Lou has been, again, at times, kind of, okay, not the Lou we were used to as instant offense. Last night he was that instant offense, Carl, with 13 of his points in the fourth.
Let's hear from Lou Williams talking about how good Trae has been in these playoffs.
He's a monster. This dude is a monster. You know, it'll be one of those things where I look back when he's a Hall of Famer, he's an established superstar in this league, and I can say I was part of that process, and I worked with this gentleman, man. seeing Trey up close and the things that he's able to accomplish and the things that he's able to go out on the floor and do night in and night out at such a young age with the poise that he had, with the swag that he has, the confidence that he has in his abilities. I'm proud to be a part of it.
South Gwinnett, stand up. That's your man, Lou Williams. And that's a hell of a compliment to say once he's established superstar and a Hall of Famer. There's a long way to go, but, man, that's how much Lou sees in a young Trae Young. And I don't disagree with him. Lou, 15 points total, but 13 in the fourth quarter. Again, that's what Mike's talking about. And so, you know, he had three assists. He came in, had grabbed a couple of boards, had a couple of steals. In 22 minutes, he was monumental in this comeback as we outscored the Sixers 40-19 in the fourth quarter. As you guys know by now, game six, closeout game. They're hard. I don't care what we just did. They're hard because the Sixers are embarrassed. They're a wounded animal. And no matter if it's family, friends, distant cousins, everybody's talking bad about them. So they're going to come and try to do something special on Friday night. But we have a chance to close them out on our home floor. You'll be able to listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. More on the Hawks coming up. Braves last night, Mike, lose again in a similar fashion.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's funny because you're so amped up, and again, the way a baseball game crawls along, you still had like three innings to catch after the Hawks, or four innings after the Hawks made their comeback. So I switch over there, and all right, again, to score eight runs two nights in a row, 16 runs in two games, and to lose both games, needless to say, we have a pitching problem. Ian Anderson was not sharp by the standards we've kind of expected now from the young pitcher. Muller, the big 6'7" dude, a stage is a bit big for him. He had two earned runs, gave up four hits. And then later on, just when they come back into this thing, you know, and Freddie gets him back in, Shane Green struggles, and then Minter gives up a home run, which I don't think has landed yet. So
that was a long ball.
So, I mean, it's just you're in a position. You're in the game, and then it wriggles off the hook because your bullpen is not worth a damn. It's everything we talked about with Alex Anthopoulos. I mean, this is beyond Melancon. This is a bullpen that doesn't work other than, and I'll say it, I mean, statistically, Luke, it backs Luke. It up. Luke.
Yeah,
Luke Jackson is the one guy doing his job. You can't say that about anyone else in that pen.
Let's hear from Brian Snicker. He said he thought we made some dumb mistakes last night. We do need to address this. This is Snit.
Create your own breaks. I mean, we're not executing. You know, we're doing too many stupid things. You know, it's hard enough to win these games without doing stupid stuff. And you have to execute. Guys, like I say, guys got to do their job. You know, you got to be – you know, whether it's moving a runner, making a pitch, that whole thing. And you can't beat yourself. You can't do, you know, stupid things and not give yourself a chance. If you're going to do that, then you aren't. You're not going to win games at this level. If you don't play a solid, fundamentally sound game, and if you're not mentally aware and into the game, then, you know, you're going to lose games.
Now, again, that's about as animated, Carl, and direct, to be quite honest, that Snitker has been with his team. Now, if he's talking specifically about the bullpen, infielders, mistakes, that's about as direct as Snitker's been. Hats off to Dansby, by the way, as they were crawling back into it. 6-3 Dansby with a 3-run homer in the fifth. Yep. We talked about Freddie going yard, so you take the lead, and then immediately Shane Green comes in and completely poops the bed.
All right, guys, more on the Braves coming up. Clippers win last night, by the way. Paul George was great. 37 points, 16 boards, no Kawhi, put them on their back. They are up 3-2 in that series. So these playoffs getting more and more interesting, even with stars missing.
You know, Durant and Paul George stepping up, guys who sometimes, again, despite their superstardom, obviously Durant's bigger star than George, they did answer the bell. You got to give George some credit because that was one that nobody was really counting on them with Kawhi out.
Well, this is why it's so frustrating when you see Paul George's offensive ability and then sometimes it doesn't shine like this. You know, right. he can do what he did last night anytime he wants, but he doesn't do it all the time.
He's disappeared in some big moments. So, again, him and Durant stepping it up. Again, I'm not looking past game six, Carl, but you look at the Nets and they're not the Nets we thought they were going to be because of all the injuries now with Kyrie especially.
Headlines brought to you by ATL Live Well. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down. They can help, guys. Call ATL Live Well today. Don't just live. Live well. Miles Robinson, Atlanta United, back at it on the pitch on Sunday. We'll talk to Miles next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is Dukes and Bell. I have a message for Brian Snicker. I'm going to get to it a little bit later on. But we did play that soundbite where he talked about doing stupid things that he thought cost us. Mike's right. We scored 8 runs last night again, and we came up short. Pitching has been a disaster, and it's been part of our issue. So, Mike, we'll definitely get to that. I don't want to hold up Miles Robinson, that soundbite was about.
Yeah, thinking about – yeah, I was going to say, he's been a little cryptic sometimes with picking on Acuna, and sometimes you and I pick it up and other Braves fans don't. So we'll dive into that. But, again, we're just so joyous about the Braves, and we get back in action after a long delay of MLS. Finally get to see our 5 stripes at home on Sunday against a team that gave us some trouble, and Miles Robinson is ready on the WadeFord.com hotline. What's up, Miles? How you doing, brother?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good, man. I mean, come on, bro. We're happy. Hawks are rolling.
Oh, my God. They are. It's awesome.
It is. It's a fun time, man. Did you watch any of it last night? Did you take any of it in?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was good. I mean, yeah, Trey Young's definitely a real one out here, and he's been balling. So, you know, he's putting his team on his back, and I love to see it.
That's what's up. Miles Robinson, our guest, guys. So, this long break. What did you do, and what did the team focus on in training? What have you guys been doing to get ready now as the season gets going again?
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing a lot of, you know, drills to keep us fit. It's just been a tough 3-week break, but just, you know, getting more fit, getting more, you know, used to guys playing in certain positions. And this week we're, you know, fully focused on Philadelphia, tactically, you know, defensively and offensively. So it should be a good one.
Yeah, man, we've talked about, dealing with injuries, and we've had to deal with missing Joseph for last year, and, you know, just when things seem to be, like, rolling a little bit, now we lose Emerson Hyneman, and he's kind of, you know, been a behind-the-scenes guy at times. So how do we pick up the slack, and from where you're standing defensively, how's it going to look in the middle and getting to the goal?
Definitely. The news of Emerson is really tough, you know, for all the guys. We obviously all feel for him, but, you know, minor setback for a major comeback. You know, we hope he's going to come back stronger, and we all have faith in him, his work ethic and all of that. But, it's just a matter of, you know, the next guy stepping up and trying to perform, you know, in his spot pretty much. And we've got a solid, you know, depth chart in the midfield. So it's just about, you know, that next guy, you know, proving himself.
Miles, we haven't had a chance to talk with you since Nashville, so I just want to take you back. I know nobody wants to revisit that, but what happened late in that match, in your opinion? I mean, you know, we're up, and then all of a sudden we're not, and then it's tied, and it just felt like a gut punch. Defensively, breakdowns? I mean, tell us from your point of view.
I mean, when you're up 2-0, sometimes you might get, you know, lackadaisical, but, you know, that's something you definitely can't, you know, afford to do against good teams like Nashville. But it was just, I think, it's tough really to say what went down exactly, but it definitely stung for sure. But it's something we can learn from, and I think that's what we'll do, and, you know, we definitely learn from it, I think.
And I know that as Miles Robinson joins us, guys, one of the best young stars on the national team. And by the way, real quick, I mean, well, we're focused on what's going on with the 5 stripes. How cool is it to beat Mexico? And we know the history and how dramatic. I mean, and to see Pulisic and see all the young stars. I mean, that's got to make your heart swell, man, to see the U.S. take out El Tri.
Oh, yeah. No, it's amazing. It's definitely, you know, one of the biggest rivalries, you know, in American soccer, if not the biggest. But yeah, it's obviously a great win. I'm proud of those guys that, you know, performed out there and won the trophy. So, you know, definitely wish them, you know, congratulations, you know, through messages and stuff like that. But, anytime you can beat Mexico is a great thing, for sure.
You've already addressed Emerson not being around. We're not going to have Joseph Martinez here. Has Gabby, our manager, talked about, you know, how he's going to approach this? And from a tactical standpoint, are you guys doing anything differently, knowing that maybe the lineup changes, but more importantly, you know, maybe even the rotation and how he's going to do things here over the next few weeks?
I think Gabby's good with, you know, giving everyone, you know, a chance to perform and practice, and so he has, you know, a chance to look at all players and all different types of positions. So he's just going to, you know, pick a starting 11 that he thinks, you know, will perform the best against, you know, Philadelphia. So, you know, I have complete faith in his decisions, and it's just a matter of us to perform, whether we're, you know, fully fit or not, or in terms of, you know, all of our normal starters are here or not. But yeah, I think it's something, you know, we can definitely do, and I'm looking forward to Philadelphia for sure.
Plenty more coming up on the Hawks' big win up in Philly. We're talking to Miles Robinson, guys, from the Five Stripes. And only 7 matches into the season. I know it's a long season, brother, but, I mean, starting to see things coming together. Carl just talked about the chemistry. So, I mean, some of the miscommunications, that will get cleaned up. And I just think, from a fan standpoint, we're seeing everything. Like, the first half against Philadelphia was probably the best half. That's what Darren Eales told us earlier in the week. Probably the best half of soccer, but we couldn't score a goal. Would you agree that we're just missing by that much and it is coming?
Yeah, exactly. You said it best. It's still really early in the season. And I think the best teams, you know, are the ones that peak at the right time. So I think we're slowly climbing up the mountain, you know, to peak. But we're definitely getting better, and I can see that every day in training. I think sometimes it can be, you know, scoring a goal is the hardest thing to do. And it will take time to, you know, get current or get, you know, constant chances. But we definitely have faith in all the guys, and I think Philadelphia, we could potentially score a few.
Philly on Sunday, which is Father's Day, Miles Robinson joining us here on Dukes and Bill. How do you rate where you've been, your performance? If I was saying a scale 1 to 5, Miles Robinson, how are you rating what you're doing right now on the pitch?
That's a tough one. I'd give myself a 3.7.
Okay.
I think I got a lot more to, you know, prove and show, you know, the people, but I think I've been solid in some aspects of the game as well, but I think there's definitely more to come from me.
Well, man, we can't wait to see it, bro. I know that we've talked about how we miss being out there, missing. I know you guys miss the energy of the fans and Mercedes-Benz, so should be an electric vibe. I feel like we have unfinished business with Philly, man. I thought, now, I don't want to get you in trouble, Miles, but some of the gamesmanship, I know they were taking advantage of the CONCACAF rules. Those guys were laying around. They were pulling, looked to me like some dirty pool in that match that was here at Mercedes-Benz. Can you give me anything on that? Would you say from where you're looking? Yeah, some of that stuff was jive.
maybe so, but I can't really speak on all that in depth, but yeah.
Carl, he will not give us bulletin board material.
No, not at all. Hey, and you know what? That's smart, Miles, man. We wish you luck. Let's go get a W on Sunday. Thanks again for jumping on with us as always. Miles Robinson, take care.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Right, thanks, man. Brother. See, Carl, Phillies, they're just evil at everything they do.
And it's good to hear. Here's the other cool thing. You know, other professional athletes in our city recognizing our other teams. And we know that their vibe. I mean, Falcons support the Braves, vice versa. Braves support, you know, Atlanta United. I was at a match where there was like 7 Braves in a booth with me. I mean, it goes on in our city. But it's good to hear Miles Robinson like, yeah, man, Trae Young's balling out. That's what it's about. So we are talking about that today here on the show. We are up 3-2 in this series. It's funny, Alan hits us up and he says, man, I was listening to Philly radio and they're talking about how our point guard sucks. He says, at least our point guard can make free throws. We don't even have to justify what Trae's done in this series compared to Ben Simmons. I mean, he took 4 shots last night. 4. So I don't know, again, how you could even compare and call him a star. And when they needed him to carry them after Embiid had kept him in the game and done all he had done, he couldn't do it. And I've been saying, Mike, this is who this guy is. It hasn't changed. It's been this way for the last, I don't know, 4 years. Mm-hmm. But now they're in this spotlight. And, you know, everybody's watching. And so you just kind of expect, oh, he's a $175 million guy. He's a top pick. And then you realize his deficiencies and his flaws. He's not that good.
Well, that's just it. I mean, look, he's a tremendous athlete. And, you know, when he's on and things are rolling, remember we talked about this where he makes that unbelievable like sort of grenade toss pass, and you're like, well, damn, that was pretty stylish. Style, yes. but he's not fundamentally sound. That's why you and I were harping on it. I just couldn't believe that this guy is considered one of the elites. When, I mean, what do you think guys who played for in this like Dr. J, for instance, or Allen Iverson, watching that last night, and you see Ben Simmons, who can't do any of the things that they were capable of doing. You know what I mean?
I do,
just,
man.
It's just unbelievable.
All right, guys, it's all about our Hawks, baby. We're up. And got a chance to close them out. We were down 26 last night. If you went to bed, turned the TV off, threw something at the TV and turned it off, we won the game last night and outscored the Sixers 40-19. Coach Nate McMillan joins us next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.